Well, praise the Lord. That's a girls, a teen girls ensemble, and what a blessing that was, and great message as well. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua in chapter 1, and for some time now we've been studying on the life of Joshua, and there was a lot as God had revealed about Joshua before we ever come to the Bible book of Joshua, and we've been looking at the man Joshua to find out just how God worked through his parents and the tribe of Israel and all the different things that have happened as he was being mentored by Moses. He was called by God, but mentored by Moses, and now we found that Moses is dead. He accomplished all that God had for him to accomplish, and God charges Joshua with God's will for his life. And he presents some things as we studied last week, and we ended with him presenting God's promises to Joshua. And after the promises in verse 4 and 5, we find in verse 6 down through 9, God's expectations of Joshua. And that's what we'll be looking at tonight. So if you'll go ahead and stand with me, we'll be reading Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 down to verse 9. The Bible says, "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you tonight, again, we love you. Thank you for the blessings of being in church and what we've already received and just being here in this place. Now, as we've opened up your word, we've studied and we've read this passage of scripture, Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for each one of us through the teaching and the preaching of this passage of Scripture. I pray that you would empower it once again, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In verse 9, God reminds Joshua, "Have not I commanded thee? Have not I commanded thee?" Can I tell you that God's commandments are God's expectations? As a parent, when you tell your child to do something, there should be an expectation of them to do that. As an employer, when you tell your employee to do something, there should be an expectation of that employee to do what you, their employer, have tasked them to do. And so God's commandments are his expectations. In every relationship, we need to have right expectations, especially when it comes to our relationship with God. In my premarital counseling, it's the second most important counsel that I give young people before they get married, is learn how to communicate, but then to learn expectations, establish expectations, make sure that they're within the guidelines of what God expects of you in that position of a husband or in that position of a wife, because it's very important that in our relationships, we have right expectations. That means we need to know what the other expects from us and what we expect from them. Sometimes it's not communicated, it's just something that you know, something that you have established. I think you need to communicate those expectations so there's no confusion there. But there is expectations in every relationship of life. Wrong or unrealistic expectations are the problem in most failed relationships. If you have a failed marriage, if you have a failed friendship, if you have a failed job opportunity, whatever it might be, in whatever kind of relationship, most of the time, wrong or unrealistic expectations are the cause. So we find here in the book of Joshua, and after God is now calling Joshua, he's instructing him, he realizes that he is the one that's going to lead the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, into the promised land. And God has given them some promises, but then he gives them these expectations. And the very first expectation that God has, he repeats it three times in these verses that we've just read. Three times. I think that not only is it listed first, but it's repeated three times. So this is something that God says, this is important. This is something that I command you to do. This is something that I'm expecting you to do. And that is, be strong. Have you looked at being strong as an expectation of God upon your life as a born-again believer? Now, he's not talking about physical strength in that we are to work on developing muscle. If so, then we would be in the gym instead of being in church on Wednesday night. We find that Paul addresses Timothy, and I'll write it down. You know the verse possibly, but let me just read it to you. In the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 8, he tells Timothy, he says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little in comparison." Can I tell you that bodily exercise is necessary for human life? I mean, it is important. Don't use this to belittle exercise. Don't use this to say, I don't need to exercise. That's not true, because you have to be good stewards of what God's given to you. And if God has given to you a body, then you got to be a good steward of that body, and you got to keep that body healthy. And there's no way that your body is going to continue to remain healthy if you're not exercising and eating properly. And fasting bread every now and then. So it's not that that's not important, but we see that how important it is to exercise. If you know your body and you understand how your body functions, you understand the importance of exercise. But God says through Paul to Timothy, for bodily exercise, even though you look at it and you understand the importance of it, it profiteth little compared to godliness. Now, that's what he goes on to say, but godliness is profitable unto all things. It's going to affect every bit of your life, every area that you can think of. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So understanding what Paul writes to Timothy and that we have from God, godliness is spiritual strength. That's what God is commanding Joshua to have. Spiritual strength, which is faith in God. To be able to keep his promises, to be able to accomplish everything that God has commanded Joshua to accomplish. So godliness, spiritual strength, and spiritual strength is faith in God. He repeats it three times. Verse 6, verse 7, and again in verse 9. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, concerning this strength, and it's the very same, be strong. It's a strength that God is looking for in us. In Ephesians, in chapter 6, let me read this to you again. If you want to turn there, you can. But chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong. Not about building muscle. Be strong in the Lord. It's about your faith in God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He has all the muscle you'll ever need. If you just have faith in it. Put on the whole armor of God. That's our part. To have the physical or the spiritual strength and to allow us to have faith in God is put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because you're going to need to be spiritually strong because Satan is going to try to destroy you. And he's going to try to destroy you not through lack of muscle, but by lack of strength. By lack of faith in God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, and let me just read this to you again. I don't want you to spend all your time looking at the scripture, trying to find, if you can and you want to, I'd rather you make sure that you write it down and get a hold of the message and the word that I'm reading and preaching to you. But here we find in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 16 and verse 13, he says this, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Be as strong as you can possibly be as a man of faith, a man of God. Stand fast in the faith, and that is the strength that God has commanded us, and yea, that God expects for us to possess. If we don't have it, it's not because God has not done His part. We might be failing our part. Daniel, the book of Daniel, in chapter 10, verse 17, Daniel was struggling. A lot of oppression, there was a lot of spiritual attacks on Daniel. To the place, he says in verse 17, for how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord, for as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me. Daniel's saying, there's no strength in me. Neither is there breath left in me. He got to the place where he was ready to die. There was no breath left in him. He couldn't have the strength to do anything that God would have him to do. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Don't you love it when God touches you and gives you a little more strength than you thought you could ever muster up on your own to accomplish something or get through something? And the only explanation is, God touched me. Would never have thought I could have ever got through this, and I could never have gotten through this without a right relationship with God. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Communicating with God does something to strengthen us. And said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Thou hast strengthened me. Wow. Can I tell you tonight that we need to do whatever we need to do to stay strong? Oppression will cause us to lose strength. Sometimes medications can do it. Sometimes it's just age. Not as sharp as you used to be. Not able to handle what you used to handle. You're still trying to do things that you shouldn't be trying to do. Whatever the cause, you know when you're weak. Can't always put your finger on it, but you know when you're struggling. And strength comes from God. And he says, be strong. Be strong. It's something that God expects out of us. And yea, it's not only expected of us, it's commanded by God of us that we be strong. So we're not. What do? You turn to God. You start praying and asking for God to strengthen you. You don't walk away. You don't give up. You don't succumb to it. God, you know me better than I know myself. God, help me to know why I'm feeling this way. God, help me to know just what's going on inside of me. You know me. God, help me to understand. God, not only help me to understand, help me to know what you'd have me to do so that I may maintain the strength that you want me to have in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through. Do what you need to do to stay strong. I know that muscle must be maintained. And we find that Paul somewhat brought this in when he says physical exercise. That's not the main thing. It profits little, even though how important it is. But in understanding, you know how important it is. Now apply that to your spiritual life. Apply that to your faith in God. When I was young, I used to work out a lot. I was, you know, in very good shape. I mean, I'm just looking back 50 years ago. I actually, the gym that I was a part of, they wanted me to actually be Mr. Teen of Indiana. Asked me to run for that, and I declined. I didn't want to go through all the hoops and everything else. And I'm not saying that to build myself. I'm saying that I understand muscle. And you work out to build muscle. But once you have built the muscle up, you have to maintain it. If you don't maintain it, you know what it turns to? Flab. Because you stretch the muscle and you have pretty good biceps, but then when you stop working out and you stop maintaining that muscle, then you have the same skin, but it's stretched out, but the muscle has turned to flab. And I was thinking about that. That's reality. Maybe that's what's happening to so many when it comes to your spiritual strength. You're not working on maintaining it. If you're not working on maintaining it, you're going to lose it. Wow. There has to be something we must do to be strong, or God would not have commanded it and revealed to us it's his expectations of us. Be strong. No doubt. Repeated three different times. The next expectation, which is a commandment of God, is found, go back there with me, and of a good courage, which is repeated three different times. Good courage, verse 6, very courageous, verse 7, good courage, verse 9. Biblical understanding of courage, a quality of spirit that enables you to face danger or pain without yielding to fear. I'm not saying fear will not be there. I'm saying that you will not allow fear to control you. A quality of spirit that enables you to face danger or pain without yielding to fear. It's what it would take for someone to run into a burning house to rescue someone else. If you knew of somebody who had went into a house that was flames, full of fire, to pull somebody else out of safety, you would say, he put his life at risk. He didn't think of himself. What a courageous act. It's spiritual strength that gives us the spiritual courage to follow God's will. And it's something that we need to have. Matter of fact, God says, it's expected of you. I'm commanding you three times, Joshua. Because you're going to need your strength. You're going to need your courage to accomplish the task that I've given you. And leading this nation of Israel to conquer and to possess the promised land. So it's spiritual strength that gives us the spiritual courage to follow God's will. To a mission field, where a person has to leave family, person has to leave church, their home church, their home family, got to leave their home nation to go to a foreign land to learn a different language and a different culture. But if it's God's call upon their lives, spiritual strength coupled with spiritual courage allows them to surrender to do just that. To be a witness? To be a witness? Spiritual strength coupled with spiritual courage allows you to be the witness that God wants you to be. To take a stand for Christ. To take a stand in your high schools. To take a stand in your neighborhood. To take a stand in your workplace. Listen to me, it's this idea, a fear of taking the stand that God wants you to, and you're more afraid of man than you are of God, and God's being able to strengthen you to do His will, and you sometimes buckle down, and the fear of man keeps you from doing what God would have you to do, and God says you need to strengthen yourselves, and you need to have the courage that I want you to have so that you will be able to accomplish what you know that I want you to accomplish. You see, the promised land was not symbolic of heaven. The promised land was symbolic of God's will for Israel. And can I tell you that God has a will for all of us? But if you're going to accomplish God's will for your life, it's going to be because you have strengthened yourself and you maintain your strength and you have receive that courage, you have yielded to the courage that God wants you to yield to, and you maintain that courage because it's expected of you. The third thing that He gives them there, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. It's what God, speaking to Joshua, and He said, Joshua, you're going to divide the land. Joshua was to be mindful of the task that God had for him to accomplish. The end result, by the end of his life, he would have divided the entire promised land up amongst the 12 tribes of Israel. It would be his focus. The end of the race, the finish line. It would be his focus, even while doing all the other things. There would be a lot of other things that would need to be done to be able to accomplish the end result, the end of his will, God's will for his life. But he understood the end of God's will for his life was to have the land completely divided up. I love that. Because there was a lot of other things that had to be accomplished to get to the dividing of the land. But never lose sight of where you're going. Never lose sight of the finish line for whatever the will of God is for your life. I think of the church. What is the end result of the church? The Great Commission. Because at some point, the whole world will have the gospel preached unto the world, and then the end. That's what Jesus prophesied. That's what he revealed. And so the end, if you will, the focus that we can never lose sight of as a church is the Great Commission. But many things have to be established and maintained to continue to obey. If we lose the church, if the Lighthouse Baptist Church closes its doors, then we will not accomplish what God opened the doors of the Lighthouse Baptist Church to accomplish, and that is eventually to reach the entire world with the gospel. So we have to keep the doors open. We have to make sure that we are doing what we need to do to keep the church strong. Now, it's God who is going to do that, but we are looking to God for the strength that he would give us to do our part in the church. And everyone has a part in the church. If you make up the body of Christ, then God has a function for every part of the body. And whatever part, whatever it is that God's will is for your life in the church, whatever talents he's given to you, whatever spiritual gifts that he has given to you, whatever opportunities that you have, you must be looking to accomplish that in the church. And if everybody's accomplishing what God has them in the church to accomplish, the church will remain open and growing and reaching the gospel, reaching the world with the gospel. Never, we can never lose sight. That is the goal. That is the end result. But we have to maintain a lot of things to be able to accomplish the goal. Does that make sense to you? Do we see that? Because that happens in so many other areas of life. Marriage. A Christian marriage. God has a purpose for the testimony of a Christian marriage. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Ultimate goal, stay married. That's the ultimate goal. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 6, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. The world needs to know that. Christian marriage is a testimony to that. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. The world needs to see that. It's not let's just live together. It's not less, well, if you want to get married, I'm going to keep my name and we're going to keep separate bank accounts and we're going to keep everything else separate. But one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. This is what God reveals as a goal of marriage. If you're one flesh, then you should never be two. You should always be one. And they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Ultimate goal, stay married. Marry in God's will. Stay married. What are we going to have to do to stay married? The end result is stay married. Some of the battles I'm going to have to face to stay married is communication, love, service. You should never look at your spouse on what they can do for you. That'll destroy a marriage. God has you there to be the husband that your wife needs you to be. God has you there to be the wife that your husband needs you to be. And my focus needs to be that, if I'm a wife, to be that wife. If I'm a man, a husband, to be that husband. And there's going to be battles along the line that I need to face, and I need to be strong, and I need to be courageous, and I need to look to the will of God to be able to accomplish the end result, and that is to stay married. Children, what is the end result? It's been said, grandchildren are God's reward to parents for not killing their children. That's funny, but a lot of truth in that. The end goal for having children is to see them establish their own Christian families. While you're changing their diapers, your goal ought to be, and keep in focus, this little life that God's given to me, I want to be able to see them marry and establish their own Christian home, and to be the wife to some godly man that God has prepared them to be. And if it's a little boy, then I want to raise this little boy to be the man that God wants him to be to some godly wife. Have we lost our minds in society today to lose sight of everything that God has given to us? We've lost sight of the task. Divide the land. Now, there's so much things you got to make sure you get done, but you're doing them with the task in mind that's going to eventually help you to accomplish that task. Verse 7, the fourth thing. Almost done here. Good stuff tonight. It really is. Verse 7, now we have the same, just repeated. Be thou strong, amen. Very, very courageous, I got that. This is the fourth thing. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Do according to all the law, and that's the key to accomplishing the end result. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God says what he means what he says. God had provided them his word, Moses' law. The first five books of the Old Testament were the laws of Moses, the Pentateuch. They had that, and they were to stay focused on that. Not to look away from it, to the left or to the right. A good friend of mine, Brother Dave Hardy, says there's a ditch on both sides of the road. Stay out of the ditch. Stay on the road. Amen. To the left there's a ditch, and to the right there's a ditch. We just need to focus on the road. Not to add to or take away from, as the book of Revelation reveals to us. Verse 8 explains it. This book of the law, this is God's expectations. This is God's command. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I need to be talking. I need to be sharing. I need to be witnessing what the book of the law says. At home, at work, around family members. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That means ought to be speaking it. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I'm thinking about it so that I might know how to speak it. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. I need to learn how to apply it myself so I can have a testimony to be able to help others to know how to apply it to their lives. To do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success, or if you will, and then you'll be able to accomplish the end result of my will for your life. And you'll divide the land before you die. Yeah. Wow. And then in closing here tonight, verse 9. It's actually the fifth expectation, the fifth of God's commands. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Third time. But then he says, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Do not live in fear, discouraged, depressed, and not emotionally able to do anything. I don't want you living that way. I don't want you dismayed, discouraged, depressed, living in fear to the place where we're so emotionally caught up in fear that we're not able to do anything. If we find ourselves there, it's because we're not doing the other things that God expects us to do. If you're there, you are not strong. If you're there, you are not courageous. If you're there, you're not meditating on the words of God. You're not accomplishing and doing everything that God has you to do. You need to get things turned around and make sure that you are doing what you need to do for yourself to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. You need to make sure that you're doing what you need to do. Stop thinking about everybody else and everything. If you don't get yourself to the place where you are strong in the Lord, if you don't get yourself to the place where you are courageous in the Lord, if you don't get yourself to the place, God has a goal for my life, there's something that I am to accomplish for my life, then you will never get there. And you'll be drowning in fear, discouragement, depression, emotional wreck. What a charge that God had for Joshua. And what a charge God has for us. Like they've every head bowed tonight. Where are you at? Do you see yourself as the way that God wants you to see yourself, as being strong in the Lord? That's faith in God. Even though we don't always understand it, to know that God is still in control. And I might have to readjust some things here and there, but I have faith in God, and I am strong in the Lord. And I have the courage to take the stand and to do whatever it is that God would have me do. As long as I know it's God's will, I have the courage to do that, and that is exactly what I'm going to do. I know God's will for my life, and I know the goal that I need to keep before my eyes, and I'm going to accomplish it. If you're not there, you need to get there. If it's God's expectations of you, He will strengthen you to meet those expectations. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord God. Thank you for the truth that we find in the book of Joshua, and especially, God, as we looked at this and this challenge, this charge that you are giving Joshua to help him, to prepare him for the task that you have for him accomplish. Oh Lord, help us to be able to identify it with it and be ready to accomplish the task that you have set before us. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.